I don't think any one sentence has given me as much pleasure this year as the one I am about to speak. It is my great pleasure to welcome back to our studios the giggling gourmet, Jenny Morris. What a sight for sore eyes and empty tummies you are, Jenny. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Pepper, how are you? Just look exactly the same.
Well, I should hope so,
you look,
I guess.
Fabulous.
As do you. So lovely to have you back with us again, Jenny. Welcome,
yes,
welcome.
Thank
we
you.
We are going to be talking about Jenny's brand new television show, which debuts very, very soon on the Food Network. I will, of course, give you all the specific information. But as always, the lines are open. If you want to say hello, ask a question, whatever it is, give us a call on 021-446-0567. Now, Jenny, the show is called From the Heart with Jenny Morris. What
yes,
does that title tell us about the content?
You know what? It's about real food. And you know, when you cook for friends, you cook for family, you cook from your heart. Mm. You know, because it's nurturing food. And especially when you cook for your kids, it's love and nurture.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Love on a plate, yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm giving it to you with all my heart.
I'm always intrigued about what goes into filming a series like this, because we're so used to seeing everything go perfectly and
yes.
whipping out, here's one I did earlier that's perfectly browned and beautifully gooey or whatever it has to be that looks absolutely spot on. How many takes does it get to get to that point, though? And how much of the warts and all stuff do you leave in or leave out in a series like this?
Well, put it this way. I'm so fortunate that I can do life to time. I can't. They just let me have my head and I go.
Okay.
But there's always a wonderful team behind you, especially in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that this is the hardest part of letting go is when the quality. Do they know what to substitute it with if you can't get it, rather than come back with nothing? Now, you remember we filmed this in Dubai.
Okay.
So, but Dubai is, I think it's like the foodie capital of the world when it comes to ingredients. You can get everything from a finger lime to a fingerling potato.
Okay.
You know, so I was very lucky. The only thing we weren't fortunate enough to get were fresh bay leaves. We got dry
really?
Ones. Yes, I would have brought them from home had I known. I brought a couple of lemon leaves. I thought, just in case it is desert, you know, because I was making my pickled fish. But you can get everything and anything. And I do know that people have bloopers and stuff happens. But I was very lucky on the series. I had the best backup house chefs, the two of the nicest chefs. I had a fantastic production team. I can't even begin to tell you. They were great. And, you know, you get like, you've got a makeup artist in your face and someone pulling your hair and that kind of thing. So I can't stand that. That's my space. I can't stand it. So, yeah. I mean, my director, Walid, play her music. Play her the music she wants. And you calm down immediately. So everyone, we understood each other. And so this particular series went extremely well. We didn't have to go and get live chickens and slaughter and things like that. Thank God.
Thank goodness for that.
Yes.
So 10 episodes coming our way, starting next Thursday, the 30th of January, on Food Network, which has become like your second home, Jenny. How many shows have you done for them now?
The last one I did was Fabulous Food Academy with Reza.
Yes.
And then I did Jenny Morris Cooks Morocco, Jenny Morris Cooks Rivera's. I did Chop South Africa, and then all those little bitty bits in between, and now this one. I'm from the heart with Jenny Morris.
So you are an institution on the channel by now. And so as I said, 10 episodes starting at Thursday the 30th of January. The airtime is about 5 to 8 in the evening with some repeats,
yes.
I assume, the day after, Jenny. Talk us through the kinds of foods. I mean, you mentioned your pickled fish.
Yes.
What are some of the dishes we'll see you preparing?
Well, you know, when they commissioned the show, they said, you know, let's put South African dishes. And then I said, you know, it's like asking your granny to suck eggs. You know, she knows. South Africans have got very global palates. We're well traveled. You know, we watch television. We want to learn new things. Maybe I'm a little bit jaded. So I don't want to do every single recipe as a South African recipe. Mm-hmm. But what I'd like to do is just give it a kick. You know, take global food, and then in every episode do something that is South African, but give it a good switch, give it a turnaround. So things like denning flesh, for instance, it's a long, slow, delicious methodology, and it goes forever and ever. But I mean, do you have time to cook mutton for hours?
No, you don't.
Wish
I did.
Yes,
but, I don't, yeah.
But the sauce is something that develops very, very quickly, and that lovely tamarind, you know, with the sweet
sour,
and the sour.
Yes.
So I've used beautiful plump lamb chops, chum chops. So the integrity of the flavors, and I've just, as I said, I've just added, instead of mutton that takes too long, I've added lamb. I did babwerti. Instead of it being sort of in a flat dish, you're going to have to watch to find out. Rooibos tea. Instead of fat cook, but I took the curried mince that you would eat and I did these beautiful phyllo quails.
Oh, yum.
With gorgeous scented and flavored yogurt, warm yogurt over that, and chili butter. Really delicious. So it's nice, easy stuff that anybody can make.
I'm so glad you referenced the change, the shifting South African palate, because it is so noticeable. I mean, I remember the early days of food TV, sitting with an old typewriter. I'm really showing my age here. But literally sitting with a typewriter, trying to keep up and pause and keep up with the recipes from dear old Nigel and Ross and the early guys. And it was food that seemed so strange to me, that I'd never tried, I'd never eaten, I didn't know that I would ever cook any of them. Yes. It just sounded so exotic.
Yes.
Today, of course, I look back at those recipes and it was a Thai green curry, which I now knock off every second week for the family dinner. Have you seen a shift in the way, particularly as South Africans, we eat and cook and approach food?
Oh, no, absolutely. You know, as I say, I think television has very definitely opened our world. It's made us more adventurous. And, you know, travel is so cheap these days. You know, you have these wonders. I mean, I'm taking a group on the Danube in August, such a ridiculous price. Things are cheaper. Travel is more accessible to most of us. So your palate travels.
It's expanded.
Exactly. And people are very, very curious. And, I mean, if you look in the supermarkets, there's wonderful new ingredients available. All the beautiful cookbooks and the food magazines expose us to so much. So this is what we're not just in Africa. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. We're not in sort of the arse end of the world, excuse my language, but in living in the dark. You know, hello, we've got some of the best chefs in the world.
Right here. So one of the big trends we keep hearing, and I know the true ethical vegetarians hate us using the word trend, but it is the food trend of the year, is if not completely vegetarian or vegan, then less meat in the diet.
Yes.
And the meat-free Mondays, etc. I know that generally when I think of you cooking, I think of abundance and I think of huge roast pork with crackling and I think of multiple chickens stuffed with beautiful things. But how have you embraced meatless cooking to a degree?
Well, if you look at my restaurant, Yumptious, we have a lot of meatless, you know, that people can add to their meat. I have one of my episodes called My Meatless One Day.
Okay.
But it's deliciousness. You know what I'm saying? It's even in one of the series, I make a bread. It's a flatbread that is good for vegans because it has no dairy in it.
Uh-huh.
And it's sweet potatoes and flour. It's a very wet dough. It's very easy, but you've got to make it, fry it. It's delicious. Mm. It's like a roti, but there's no ghee in it. So I'm kind of – because there's very definitely a change that is happening. But there's plenty of meat. There are big, luscious, voluptuous legs of lamb.
Okay.
Whole Norwegian salmons, tuna, prawns, you know, lovely homemade breads and gorgeous cakes and easy stuff. But it's easy to reproduce, you know.
I'm glad to hear that there's a flatbread, because I did try and make my own roti for the first time ever last week. And it was... Well, yeah, it's easy, she says. It wasn't an unadulterated success, shall we say. Bilkis, I'm coming back for your of yours. I have a friend who does them much better than me. It's something I would never have thought of doing.
Yes.
The thought of making your own flatbread, even 5 years ago, I would never have attempted it. It's just, it's amazing easy. How the world has come to our doorstep in a way.
Everything's been demystified. You know, if I have a look, we had the media event the other night and we showed part of one of the episodes and I was doing pickled fish. And all I heard in the room was, I can't believe it's so easy. I've always been afraid to attempt it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Look at this onion. You know what I'm saying? And everybody was saying, we're going to try. So I hope throughout the whole series that people aspire and want to and be inspired. Yeah.
So I have to ask you now. What's in your pickled fish? Let's talk about the fish. Let's talk about the spicing and whether the sauce is cooked or not. Just without giving the whole recipe away, Jenny, what's the secret to yours?
Do you know what? The thing is, I think a sauce is very important. And I think that the balance of sweet and sour. But you see, once again, it's such a taste is so private. It's like a masala. I always liken things to a masala because it goes from street to street, from house to house.
Yeah.
So who says your garam
yours
masala?
Is the proper one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't like it when it's too acidic. So I like a little bit of sugar in it, and I put bay leaves and lemon leaf because it scents it beautifully. And I like a little bite a tiny, tiny little bite, but I don't like mine to be red. I still like the turmeric.
Okay.
It's got to be yellow.
And so which fish do you use as your preference?
Do you know what? In the old days, I had lots of options. Mm. Now, I use hake. I use hake. And while we were in Dubai, they got, as I say, they're just the sky's the limit. You can have anything. I used a local fish that was beautiful and firm, firm. My mother used to make it with barracuda.
Wow.
It was delicious.
I have eaten barracuda once, and it is really, really, really firm fish.
Lovely.
So I'd imagine it does stand up well to a robust sauce like
and
that.
And just like soaks it nice and meaty. But I make it with hake, and who needs Good Friday? I make it all year round.
We are talking with Jenny Morris, the Giggling Gourmet, whose new food show, From the Heart with Jenny Morris, goes live on the Food Network, which is DSTV channel 175, for those who are wondering, next Thursday, the 30th of January. Jenny, a few questions coming through on the SMS line. There's lots of good wishes from people saying it's so lovely to hear you. But seeing as we talked about the meat-free, here's Lindsay, who says, I'm trying very hard to encourage the family to go for meat-free Mondays, but we have a banter in the house, and it is really tough. Any suggestions on meat-free, fuss-free vegetarian meals that don't include pasta?
Well, the thing is, you've got so many wonderful pulses. And in fact, I watched The Game Changer the other day. Now, no effect on me, just that I love pulses. And I just thought my husband could actually do with losing a couple of kilos. And my one son, Darren, they all want to be a vegetarian, but they don't want to eat the good stuff. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The things that, and there's a thing called FONEO. This is going to take quinoa, which has got the most protein in the animal kingdom. This has got a million times more protein, the FONEO, and I've eaten it, I've cooked with it, I brought some back with me. That is the most wonderful protein replacement. And you can do so much. You can use it like polenta. You can add veggies to it to make veggie cakes with it. It's from West Africa. And it's the next thing. Our little quinoa queen is going to be, she's going to become a princess.
FONEO is spelled how?
I can't even remember how it's spelled. David should remember how
it's
spelled.
Okay, well, we'll Google that one for you. With a PH. All the best things are spelled with a PH. Okay, FONEO. Going to have to look out for that one. Okay.
But it is. I think that's the next thing that's going to take the vegetarian world by storm.
Okay. A belated Christmas question from Mandy, who says, my Christmas gammon didn't get as nice and sticky as it usually does. Could it be because I used fresh pineapple rather than tinned? The flavor was off the charts, but the gooiness was missing.
Sugar. You're missing
the sugar content.
It's always the sugar, because obviously a canned is in a syrup. Mm-hmm. So you have a nice concentration of sugar there. So the next time you do it, just add a little bit more sugar.
And would you add brown sugar in that case?
Brown sugar is lovely because brown or white, it doesn't really matter, because it cooks down to a caramel anyway.
So, I mean, the fresh pineapple, I'm with you, Mandy. The flavor of
delicious.
Fresh is always going to be superior
to
canned. But I do get what might have happened there if you didn't have the sugar content compensated by losing the syrup from the can. Okay, and this is a nice one. Fiona, feeling the heat very desperately, saying, I cannot face cooking a hot meal in weather like this, but we're all sick of salad. I was thinking cold soups might be the way to go, but my repertoire includes one and one only, and that is gazpacho. Any other suggestions for cold soups?
Beetroot. Beetroot is absolutely delicious. And beetroot and yogurt and some fresh dill. You can add a little bit of sour cream to that, or fresh cream with a splash of lemon juice and nice zest. I'm into that. Some of it smooth, some of it textured. Bring it together. I love it. You can even have sort of a meaty if you wanted to, like borscht. You know, you could have sort of a meaty undertone if you wanted to give it a little bit more depth. But I love a beetroot soup.
So beetroot soup, gazpacho, I think Vichyssoise can also be
delicious.
Cold as well,
absolutely.
Although,
yes.
I know a lot of South Africans do serve it hot, but actually I think the proper way is to do it cold.
Yes,
right?
And you can add some cucumber to that, you know, just to sort of make it pop.
That is just the crunch and the taste and the freshness of summer right now.
Divine.
Absolutely. Right, so apparently your husband says the correct spelling is FONIO of FONEO, the grain we're talking about, which is going to be the next big thing. Thanks for putting us onto it, Jenny Morris. And thank you so much for joining us in studio today.
It's been amazing.
It is so wonderful to have you back, and I hope you will pop in again a little bit later in the year
to chat to us in the food segment.
The Main Thing to Diarise is next week, Thursday, the 30th of January, Channel 175 on the DSTV network. Food Network is where you will find the first edition of From the Heart with Jenny Morris. From our hearts and our tummies, it's been wonderful to have you back with us again, Jenny. Thank you so much
Take
for popping
care.
In today, you too.
Nice to see you all.